Well, hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode 110. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. I have a special treat for you today because this is the first episode where I went in with questions planned for a completely different topic and just decided the conversation was going so great in one direction, we were just going to keep going that way. And I'm so glad that I did, because today's guest is Rose Lounsbury, and we were talking about her background. She is a mom of triplets who discovered minimalism when her babies were two, and just about how when we're making space for the things that matter most, what are we making space for? And sometimes that is the space to be able to think, to dream, to be able to reach our full potential, to understand our self-worth isn't coming from whether the laundry is done and there's no dishes in the sink. And we have such a wonderful, rich conversation that I know you are all going to love. So Rose is a simplicity coach who helps busy working moms declutter their homes, simplify their work lives, and clear their minds. And after struggling to balance a teaching career and two-year-old triplets, Rose was introduced to minimalism in 2012. Inspired by the less is more philosophy, she let go of 70% of her family's possessions in 8 months. She eventually left the classroom to pursue a career helping other working moms create happier lives with less stuff. And her advice has been featured on TEDx and USA Today. She's also been a guest on Good Day Columbus, WYSO, WVXU, and Good Morning Cincinnati. And this is one of my favorite conversations because Rose and I are talking about the deeper things that happen when we declutter our homes, heads, and hearts, our ability to pursue our highest calling. So what do you say? Grab that notebook and pen and let's dive into today's conversation with Rose Lounsbury. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Mom's Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, 2 kids later, I've transformed my life in motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hi, Rose. Thank you so much for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am really excited to talk to you today.
I'm so excited too, Emily. I've been looking forward to this conversation all day.
Yay. Yay. You and I have connected through kind of mutual friends, I would say, in this simplicity and decluttering space. And you and I also have in common blogging and writing as a creative outlet. And I've sort of shifted to this podcasting space, which has been interesting with a background as a writer, because when it comes to being able to reach the people that we're trying to support, I know that moms are always on the go and you support super overwhelmed, busy moms. So sometimes you just have to get in their ears when they're doing other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would love if you could tell us a little bit about you and your family and the moms that you serve. And just if you ever have any free time, what you like to do in your copious amounts of free time. I always put that in air quotes because usually people don't have it.
Yeah. So I'm Rose Lounsbury, and I have triplets, which is probably the thing that most people remember about me. They're 14 years old now. So my journey toward a simpler lifestyle actually started very much because of having 3 babies at once, and I have no other kids. So it was the baptism by fire method of parenting, going from 0 children, having changed 1 diaper in my whole life, to triplets. That was overwhelming. And, you know, I think podcasts like this are so great because you don't have to have suddenly had 3 babies to feel overwhelmed by motherhood, because it is a very overwhelming and exhausting state. So my journey to simplicity started when they were about 2 years old. So when they were born, I was lucky enough to be able to take some time off of my work. I'm a teacher, a middle school teacher is my professional training. And so I took 2 years off from my teaching job to stay home and just kind of organize and get things together. So I'm naturally a very organized person. So, but I went a little overboard with the triplets. I had color coding and different colored pens for marking who had a wet diaper and how much of their medicine did they take. And it was a bit extreme, but I think, especially at that time, my way of trying to compensate for the overwhelm was to micromanage and overorganize. And maybe some of your listeners can relate to that. And what actually then you create is this additional sense of overwhelm because you're trying to manage your really complex, overly organized system. But I was trying my best. I was doing everything that I could. And so when they were about 18 months old, I realized that I'm just not meant to be a stay-at-home mom. It was too much for me. And middle school, teaching middle school students looked like an absolute break from being a stay-at-home mom. So stay-at-home moms out there, I just want you to know, I understand that your job is very, very hard. Because for me, teaching 100 middle schoolers how to read and write was way easier than being home with my three children. So I went back to work full-time when they were two. And that was great in a lot of ways because I had a greater sense of identity, professionalism, like being outside the home was good for me mentally. But what happened, and working moms understand this, all moms are working moms, but moms who work outside the home understand this, is now you suddenly have two jobs, which I didn't understand. I had my job at work, but when I came home, I had my second job of being a mom to my 3 2-year-olds. And when I'd been working before I had kids, it was just, I had my one job and I was a teacher and I came home and I had a cat and that was it. But now I came home and I have 3 2-year-olds who need playtime and bath time and dinner time and story time. And then finally bedtime. And by the time I got them in bed at night, I was so exhausted, you know, and I have a husband, I have a partner, but he's a lawyer. And so he often works late hours. So often he wouldn't get home till 8 or 8:30 and the kids are already in bed, you know, and I've been up since 6, you know, working my professional job and coming home and doing my mom job. And by the time I got them in bed, I was so tired. And all I wanted to do was sit down, just have a moment to myself, because teaching is a serving job. I'm serving my students, and mothering is a serving job. You're serving these people. But what I found that the end of the day, instead of relaxing and having time to myself, was I was serving my stuff for that last maybe hour before I had to go to bed. I'm picking up toys and shoes and sippy cups and moving piles of papers around. And that was really exhausting. So when I started thinking about, okay, what could I do to start to have some of my life back? I realized if I just simplified the amount of stuff, because the stuff also had some of the hallmarks of my over micromanaged organizing on them. I had boy bibs and girl bibs and all sorts of different like levels of organization that were completely not necessary because there was so much of it that to kind of keep it all together, I had it in all these different little categories and I would try to put it all back exactly how it was supposed to go. I created for myself this exhausting job, and a friend introduced me to the idea of minimalism. It was actually right after Christmas, that first year I went back to work full time. And I was really overwhelmed with the amount of presents my kids had received from very well-intentioned friends and family. And I was kind of complaining to her about all these gifts. And she said, well, why don't you just become a minimalist? And I was like, oh, what is that? I don't even know what that means. And so I started reading books and blogs on the topic of minimalism or simplicity. And that's when I started my own blog, just as a hobby, sharing befores and afters of my towels and befores and afters of my kids' toys and letting go of clothing and all these things. And the reason I kept doing it was because as I let go of this excess stuff, I felt so free. Because it created in my very busy life. I mean, I'm a full-time teacher. I have 3 2-year-olds. That's a busy life. But letting go of the stuff created that little bit of margin that I needed to have a little bit of time for myself. Not a lot, but a little bit of time for myself. And so you asked, you know, what do you do during your free time? Well, at that time, when I now at the end of the day could pick up everything in 5 minutes, what did I do? I sat on the couch. I read books. I drank tea. I would call my mom or my sister. I might watch a show. Those were things that they're not really exotic, crazy things to do. But at the time, I couldn't really do those things. I couldn't sit down and relax because there was always something else that needed to be taken care of. So that's sort of my story, my journey. And I eventually let go of my teaching career and I started helping other women through coaching and classes. And even at the beginning, going into their homes here in Dayton, Ohio, where I live, and helping them declutter and organize physically. Now it's all online. But that was how the kinds of women that I found myself serving were the kinds of women who are like me, often, you know, working some type of job, part-time or full-time outside the home. They have a few kids. And it's at that point where I think mothers especially just realize this is too much, right? We're managing careers, we're managing kids, we're managing everybody's stuff. And it's just, it's an almost impossible thing to do. And so those were the kinds of women that I helped, and I still help a lot of women that are in that situation. So free time now, because my kids are 14, there is way more of it. So if you have little kids, just know that you will have more time. Free time now, I do a lot of things like go take my dog for a walk or go to a yoga class. I'm able to leave the house without my children. So that makes a huge difference with the kinds of things that I can do. But I find a lot of joy in, and still reading. I do love to read, but like reading, going for walks with my dog, going to yoga, you know, really wild, crazy things. But those are the things that I enjoy.
In the wilds of Ohio.
The wilds of Dayton, Ohio. I'm just out there doing crazy things.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Just as, you know, I talk a lot about like the reclamation of our precious resources, like our time and our energy and our focus and our attention, and that you're actually able to be creating that space, that pocket, that little, whatever it ends up being for you, so that you can start having time to yourself to be able to recharge and do the things that actually fill you up and everything. And just also, excuse me, just sort of like the understanding of, I talk about a capacity a lot, and just that we are in these homes that are larger than generations before us. And we think, okay, well, the capacity of my home is how much I can fit in it, but it's more like what we can manage. And when you are working full-time out of the home, or if you're, you know, a full-time stay-at-home mom or whatever it is, in different seasons, your capacity is less. So the less that you have to manage, I always joke when people say, well, how did you get into this? I say, well, I didn't graduate from college with a degree in stuff management, you know, but yet as moms, that's what we do, right? We're not only managing our own stuff, but then we're also managing the stuff of our kids and our family.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, I'm not going to just fill my calendar based upon 24 hours a day. It's more, what can I actually realistically and successfully and in a healthy way manage? And that's where I'm going to be making my decisions. Not so much like, okay, I'm going to have, and I'm sure with three teenagers, all the activities and, you know, all the things. And yeah, that's the kind of world that we live in. Just kind of like the more and just saying, no, like I want to carve out this little bit of space, whatever it ends up being. And maybe that'll grow as my kids grow. But just being able to put that boundary around it and saying, yes, you know, this is what I want and this is what I'm going to create.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I love how you said that it grows as your kids grow. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I don't think people always realize, and I didn't realize when I started decluttering and creating the space, was what you're really creating is time for you, right? You can rest, you can recharge, but it creates space for you to think and dream and imagine. And I think as humans, our creativity and our imagination is our greatest strength. And so it's not a surprise to me in retrospect, looking at how things played out, that after I started decluttering and simplifying, I started a business. Yeah. I wrote a book. I did all these things that, you know, when your brain is filled with, okay, I have to, you know, put these socks here and this person's laundry needs to go there and this and that, and like get this person to this activity. When that's what's in your brain, you don't have space to actually pursue really big, exciting things, because you don't have, that takes thought and time and introspection to build big things. And when you don't create space for that, you actually miss out, I think, on some really powerful things that you can do in your life. I think that there are many women who have unwritten books and uncreated businesses and unstarted nonprofit organizations and just all sorts of things. Like there's so much potential in us that I think we as women waste by managing all the things. Because we wonder, I don't mean to turn this into a feminist rant, but maybe I do. But we wonder why do men run the world? Well, because they've had time to think about how to do it. And if we don't create time to think about how to affect and impact the world the way we want to, because we're dealing with all the minutia, it actually is a way that I think women are held back. So I think sometimes I've wrestled with this because I'm a very, like, as you can tell, empowered woman. And I believe in empowering women. So I'm like, why do I talk to women about decluttering and organizing their house? Like, that seems like, you know, Becky Homecky. But it's really about if we can decrease, offload, and simplify that aspect of being a parent, whether you're a man or a woman, if you can simplify that, you can create space to pursue really exciting things. And that's what I want for people. And I've seen it, you know, in lives of clients and students when they've simplified their stuff. They're like, oh, I went back to school and got a degree in counseling. Or I met someone, I started dating after my spouse died. I met someone and I have this great relationship. There are things that happen that are incredible that we can't predict that often start with decluttering our closets. And so I think that's another aspect of kind of what you were talking about, which is our capacity matters for our own mental health. But I think it also matters that we manage that for our human potential and purpose on earth. And I get really excited. And I think as my business has grown and changed, it's really shifted more into that. Like, how can we become the people that we're meant to be? And if we don't have space to even conceptualize it, we can never get there. So that's just another bigger reason, I think, to declutter the excess stuff.
Well, I have just decided we're going to just change our topic.
Okay, let's do it. I love it.
I'm not even going to tell the people what the other topic was going to be because I'll cover that in another time. But what I would love that maybe we could chat about is you were talking about how you had this hyper-organized system for your babies, you know, okay, you have your color coding and you have your girl and boy bibs and everything. And as a perfectionist, recovering perfectionist, you want to call it, just having the control over the environment. And that has always been very important to me. Like when I'm feeling out of control and when I'm feeling chaotic and overwhelmed, I want to have control over things. But the problem is I have found that perfectionism and thinking that it has to be a certain way or look a certain way, or I have to have this hyper-organized system. And that's the answer. That's what's going to make me happy. It actually doesn't, because we are so busy. A lot of times we procrastinate. So we don't end up starting. We don't end up saying, okay, well, if I declutter my home for 10 minutes, that doesn't, you know, it's not going to do anything because I have to have the whole weekend when my husband takes the kids and I have, you know, 2 days to myself. So
because that always happens.
So I would love it just for your personal experience that when not only just like realizing that less stuff in your simplification was able to give you that space, but how did you let go of that control and that hyper like organized side of you that was trying to say, okay, this is what is keeping me afloat right now. And if I let go of this, like, I don't know what's going to happen, because obviously there had to be kind of that letting go of that, I don't know what to call it, but just sort of that controlled, whether that came from the organization side of you or the maybe a perfectionist side of you. I would love to dive into that because I feel like a lot of women, they're scared to let go of some of that. Mm-hmm. And that is as hard, if not harder, than letting go of the stuff itself.
Yeah, that is an awesome, huge question. And so the first thing that I want to say is that I think it's very normal when we are facing any type of uncertainty to try to gain control of the situation in some way. I think that is normal human behavior. And I think, you know, for women, what's a huge uncertainty? Becoming a mom, right? Mm-hmm. You've never been a mom before. How are you going to do this? Yeah, you've had a mom. Some had, you know, different levels of motherhood in their own life, but you see moms. And so you think you should be able to do it. But then what you often find when you're in it is this is so much harder. Mm-hmm. It's so much more isolating and it's so much more overwhelming than you thought it could be. And so you turn to micromanaging and over-organization as a way to feel some sense of control in this really out of control situation. It's something that we just simply, we're dealing with other human beings. Like there's going to be uncertainty and there's going to be unpredictability. And I think it kind of goes, and then again, that can manifest. You can do this in your job. You can micromanage your relationships. You can micromanage your kids' calendars. So we can do it all sorts of different ways and it can look very different. And I think for me, and maybe it's just me, but I think other people relate to this, it actually becomes more of a way that we feel self-worth. We feel self-worth when, okay, everything on the counter is organized and everything on the calendar is planned and all the dishes are done and put away. Thus, I've checked off the things I'm supposed to do. I've done what I'm supposed to do, and I'm a worthy and okay person. I'm doing motherhood right, or I'm doing my job right, or I'm being the right kind of partner, or whatever you define it as. And I think what I've wrestled with, because I feel that you and I are rather similar, besides the fact that we're dressed the same, none of you on this podcast know this, but we are wearing navy turtlenecks, both of us right now. We didn't plan it. I think, right? Emily and I are very similar. I think kind of like what it comes down to is, how are we going to define what makes us valuable? And that's a deep question. And it's one that I have struggled with on and off. And I think some of the things that have helped me with it, because you asked like what helped you, getting older, I'm 42 now, getting older just helps, because you start to realize a lot of the things that you thought, and I think it starts young, like we're in school, we're good girls, right? We do our homework, we sit quietly, we don't get in trouble. You know, a lot of us, and we're rewarded for this, right? We do all the things we're supposed to do and we're rewarded with grades when we're younger and, you know, praise or pat on the back. And then what finally happens is you realize like you're being a good girl, you're doing all the things, but nobody's giving you any gold stars anymore.
It's like, so funny you say that, because I am a gold star girl 100% of the time. And I have a very quick segue. Sorry, I just thought of this.
Go ahead.
We just went to Iceland as a surprise, like 15th anniversary present from my husband. And I'm driving around Iceland and it's beautiful. And they have the thing where it tells you like the speed limit, but they have a smiley face and a frowny face. Okay. And so if you are speeding, they give you a frowny face. And if you're going the right, they give you a smiley face. And I was like, I wasn't going like super fast, but I was like, brake, you know, so I could get the smiley face, because I am all like, give me the gold star, check off the box, mm-hmm. like tell me I did a good job. And I'm going to let you continue. But the same thing with me. I'm like, wait, I'm just tired and exhausted all the time. Like, where's my gold star? Like,
exactly.
Who's patting me on the back now? Because I was very much performance-based parenting is kind of what my parents did. So it's like, okay, get the grades, listen, follow the rules. And I did all of those things. And then it was like, but wait, now I'm just exhausted and don't even feel like myself. Like, where do I get the gold stars? I'll let you continue.
But yeah, no, thank you for sharing that story, because I think it just illustrates so much how we have been trained to seek our validation externally. And what happens, and I think it happens in everyone's life, is you're going to get to a point where that no longer works. Because nobody's going to show up and give you a gold star for potty training your kid. And nobody's going to show up and give you an A+ because you got all the laundry done and put away today. No one's going to do that. And so I think when we think about like the loss of identity or the loss of value that we often feel as mothers, it's because everything that gave us value coming beforehand was an external source giving it to us. And so what we're faced with, and I think what I was faced with, and I'm still faced with, I'm not speaking as someone who's like, overcome this, and now I know exactly how to do it, so I'm going to give you the 10 steps to do it, because I can't, because this is something that I practice daily. We have to just learn to value ourselves because we are. We're valuable because we are, because we were blessed enough to open our eyes up and walk on the earth today. We're valuable because of that. We have worth and we matter because of that. And so what that means, and why I think it can be scary, is then you're like, well, what if my kitchen is a mess and the laundry's not done and the dog throws up on the floor and I don't get to clean it up? What about the, aren't I better if I do all that? No, you're not. We are all valuable and we are all worthy. And so what it does is it kind of plays with our minds, because all the things that we kind of thought were going to make us good and right and better and good girls or good women, whatever, we realize it doesn't matter. And so we have to recognize that our value is inside, and you can still have value inside, and you can still choose to do the laundry, and you can still choose to keep a calendar because it helps the family run better. And you can still choose to get, you know, all the clothes put away, but recognize that none of that makes you better or worse.
Yeah.
It's just something you do.
I was just thinking, and this is not a Christian podcast per se, but just as far as like identity in Christ and knowing that like good works, that like doing things isn't going to give you the favor, you know, of God. And a lot of times when people, and again, I know not everyone listening is of Christian faith, but when people come to Christian faith, they're like, but wait a minute, like, wait, so I'm loved just as I am. Like I have value, intrinsic value, just as I am. I don't have to do X, Y, Z. And that puts me, gives me points, you know, right, in heaven or whatever.
Right.
And I feel like that transactional type of like, okay, well, if I do A, B, C, D, then I'm worthy as a mom, then I'm worthy as a wife if I do these things and check off the boxes. But to your earlier point about thinking small and not actually dreaming the big dreams that we have, if we think that the worth is from coming to our to-do list and then being able to cross everything off and like, that makes me the worthy person, then we're never going to think big because we think like, well, that's it. I did the list. And so now I get my pat on the back and I get the gold star. And my husband says, great job. There's no dishes in the sink. And it's like, I know you agree that we were made for more than that. So by simplifying and being able to say like, and I always say like, lower the bar. I give you permission slips, all the permission slips all day long that you do what works best for you and your family, regardless, like regardless of all of these expectations that you've placed on yourself about what motherhood should look like. And so that has been freeing for me, but like you, and I'm 43, I feel like the older I get, the less I care.
Yes.
About what other people think. It's fantastic.
it is absolutely great. And I think, do you listen to Brené Brown at all? Mm-hmm. Are you Brené Brown? Okay. One of my favorite things she says is about midlife, you know, and she said midlife can show up really any time in life, but usually it's your mid 30s and beyond. That's midlife. And she said, it's when the universe leans down really close to your ear, taps you gently on the shoulder and says, I'm not screwing around. She uses a different word, but we're going to keep it good for the kids here. I'm not screwing around. And I think as you get older, you kind of realize that. And I think a lot of those things that we use, that's when the things kind of start to fall apart in the best way, right? When we start to realize all these things that I'm building or that I thought were so important, or I was checking off the to-do list, or I was getting everything done, that really isn't what makes me me. That really isn't what makes me valuable. And so we start to sort of see these things, and it's normal and natural. It's not that we were bad before. It's just the natural way people grow up and the way we grow into wisdom, I believe, is we start to recognize, oh, there's way more to me than what I can produce. There's way more to me than how much laundry and how many dishes and how healthy the meals can be. There's way, way more to me than all of that. And that's where I think how you pointed out that the minimalism and the simplicity dovetails with that.
Yes.
Because it creates the space for us to blossom into that version of ourselves, the wise woman, the elder, you know, the woman who is centered in herself and knows how powerful she is, no matter what she does or doesn't do. That's the kind of woman I'm always trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is to be her, I'm continually brought to the place where I need to let go of things. And it used to be towels and kids' toys and extra t-shirts. And now I am asked to let go of bigger things. Like I have let go of huge parts of my business in the last year. And it was scary because I didn't know what was coming next. And there's this really exciting thing that's happening in my life that I couldn't have foreseen, but I made space for it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the thing that's coming, you don't know what it is, but I can feel it. And I think if we're in touch with who we are, whether that is through, you know, you mentioned Christianity, whether it's through prayer or meditation, but we walking in nature, whatever works for you. But when you actually create the time to like be in touch with yourself, you're going to start noticing that we're guided, whether by whatever force you want to believe in, but I believe we are guided toward our best self, our most empowered self. And that's just another reason to let go of the excess things, because if we are consumed with them, we cannot hear what we're being called to. We cannot And I think many women and men live their lives trying to like work really hard and get all the things done. And then you hear those heartbreaking stories of people at the end of their life with all the regrets of how much I worked too hard and I didn't spend enough time with the people I loved. And I never started that project that I wanted to paint, and I never spent my weekends painting, whatever it was. Like, you hear, and it'll break your heart. And I think if we want to live lives that feel really good and true and let us live our purpose as best we can with a very short time we're allotted here, we just owe it to ourselves to focus on things that matter more.
Yeah.
And it's going to require us to let go of things, and it's painful. But that's the price we pay to have a life that's really full. Yeah.
Well said. Well
Thanks.
Said. I know.
Amen in the balcony on that one.
I was going to say, considering I didn't prep you for any of this, this has been a wonderful conversation.
It's been fantastic. Like, I love the turn that we took there.
Yes. Yes.
And I admire your intuition in the middle of a podcast interview where everyone listening, she did send me questions ahead of time that were going to be about something completely different. And she's like, no, we're pivoting. So that's the mark of a woman who's in touch with her intuition.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this has just been a wonderful, refreshing conversation. And I would love it if you could just tell everyone what we're best to connect with you, because I feel like, again, we help women with decluttering and simplifying and everything, but the identity part of it and the purpose part of it and your calling, like, that is the fruit, you know, on the other side of all of it. So I would just love if you could tell people how best they could connect with you.
Yes. So the best way to reach me would be my website. It's roselounsbury.com, and Lounsbury is spelled Lounsbury. On my website, you'll find my blog posts. You'll find links to social media. One cool thing I have is a 30-day simplicity challenge that's free, and it gives you 30 small email tips a day. One will be to help you declutter your home, how to simplify your work life. And then the third type will be how to clear your mind, which is kind of a lot of the stuff we were getting into today. So you can get that on my website, but you can also go to 30daysimplicitychallenge.com. That's numeric 30. 30daysimplicitychallenge.com. That'll take you right to that challenge if you are interested.
Well, thank you so much. I'll make sure to link all that in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been such a pleasure talking with you today.
It has been an absolute pleasure.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact. But 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. An Apple Podcast, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.